Well, we've been looking at Christianity and trying to understand the relationships that Christians are involved in. And we talk about how Christianity, how the concept of Christianity impacts the Christian in his relationship with the church, with the community that's around him, with the business that he may be a part of, with his family, with the government, with the environment. Christianity just impacts every aspect of the life of a Christian. And what that means when we think about it is that there are some corollaries to that statement that are incredibly important when we start thinking about, well, what's the Christian to do relative to any question? And what should the church's involvement be in resolving the questions that we always face? So let's think about some of those corollaries for a minute, and hopefully we'll see some important things. Now, as we were going through this discussion of the way that Christianity impacts all of those different parts back here, one of the things that we said is, because a Christian is a part of the church and a Christian is a part of his business, you can't make the assumption that the church is a part of his business. What we call that is a skip pass. That's where the church is going to get involved in the business and skip over what the Christian's involvement is. So let's think about some of those skip passes in a more precise way. You know, there are, as I see it, three corollaries that arise here. The first is some individual Christian duties can't be undertaken by the church. Well, I have written that as if they can't be, as if there's something that makes it impossible. Churches try to do this all the time. But the way that I mean this corollary to be understood is that some individual Christian's duty should not be undertaken by the church. And if our understanding of biblical authority is correct, that we don't do anything that God doesn't tell us to do, then it is appropriate to say that these duties can't be undertaken by the church. So let's talk about some of these duties. The first one, and I think this is a good way to illustrate what we're talking about. The first one is Christians have a responsibility, a duty, to be gainfully employed so that they can make a living and they can care for their family. I think there's really not much question about that. But some people would argue that if the church, if the Christian doesn't take care of his family, then the church ought to take care of his family. And I'm suggesting that as a corollary to what we've understood already, that shouldn't be. That should never be our assumption. Christian has a responsibility, and if the Christian doesn't discharge his responsibility, that doesn't mean that the church ought to get the skip pass that says the church then ought to be involved. So let's look at this. We're going to look at 1 Timothy 5. It's a passage that has been used frequently to illustrate this kind of idea. This is where the apostle tells Timothy about caring for widows. So let's look at 1 Timothy 5, and we're going to start in verse 8. This is where we establish that the individual Christian has a responsibility to care for his family. 1 Timothy 5 at verse 8. If anyone, and that's singular, that really is singular, If anyone does not provide for his relatives and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and he is worse than an unbeliever. Seems pretty clear. Any comments here? It's more than a statement that the individual Christian has a responsibility to take care of his wife and kids. It also includes his extended family, if that's necessary. Comments?
How far does that go?
Well, what would you think?
Well, fairly close-knit families, I suppose. Second and third cousins that live 2,000 miles away. You know.
How about that?
I would say if they're your relatives, they're your relatives.
Okay. Yeah, you know, there may be some information that we could get from the question that they put to Jesus. Who's my neighbor? And Jesus tells the story of the Good Samaritan. It probably is broader than we initially think it is. But I'm not going to say it goes all the way to third cousins or second cousins or nieces or nephews or anything like that. I do know that if you look at the language here in 1 Timothy 5, it's talking about a widow who has children or grandchildren. So that may be some information we can use. Bill, you had your hand up.
Yeah. Today we're seeing more of it, I think. But what if we have children that don't want to leave home and just expect us to keep supporting them as adults? I mean, that's very near. That's not.
Now that, you know, the other part of this is the statement that Paul makes to the Thessalonians. If any will not work, he neither should he eat. You know, so if somebody will not work and they just want to freeload, you don't have a responsibility to enable them to just be freeloaders. In fact, I would argue from 1 Thessalonians that you probably have a responsibility to cut them off. Okay. Yeah, Bill. Or Bob.
We have the scripture. I can't give you the where it's at, but let him who steals steal no more, but rather let him work so that he might help others.
Yeah.
Well, that individual that Bill just mentioned is stealing from his parents, who parents are bound and determined to do the best they can by their children regardless.
Right. Would I care for my sisters if they were in need? Yes. Would I care for my sisters if they were in need and didn't have any relationship with God? Yes, they're still my sisters. Okay. Now, the way that I can care for them is going to be diminished because they don't have a relationship with God. But the fact that they don't have a relationship with God doesn't mean that they're not my sisters. Yeah.
Well, I think a person has to put boundaries too. And I think that we are allowed to do that. I don't, in my own personal heart, think it's appropriate to aid someone who is just blatantly taking advantage of the situation.
Right.
Something needs to occur to take care of that part of it also.
Yeah. Yeah. We do need to have boundaries. But we, you know, the boundaries may be a little looser than we sometimes want to say that they are. Yeah, Carol.
Well, if somebody dies really, really, really rich and they don't have a will, every relative in the woodwork tries to come out and figure out that they're related to them so they can get something from it. But there, if you don't know your relative, unless they come to you and explain the relationship and whatever, and it's a situation, and it's a special situation. But, you know, like if you knew that your cousins, like Ron, when he went back, he got all these cousins who would, everywhere he went, he had a cousin that was related to him. And if he happened to know that a church, you know, got destroyed and whatever, he might feel that he wanted to help because he knew the people, you know, he'd been there. But that, you could feel that way if you that weren't related to somebody too.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And what I was saying about the language in verse 4 of 1 Timothy 5, he says, if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show godliness to their own household and to make some return to their parents, for this is pleasing in the sight of God. So I can say with some degree of assurance that he's at least talking about children and grandchildren. Okay. You have a responsibility. Bill.
When those children and grandchildren don't help or won't help, then it is our responsibility to help them.
Well, yes and no. Okay. Remember what he said to the Thessalonians. If anyone won't work, neither let him eat. If you take a person who won't work and you support them so that they don't have to work, you're enabling.
Well, I meant a widow indeed.
Okay. The widow indeed. That's a different matter. But we don't support people who can support themselves. Okay. Now, historically, if you want to look at this, historically, that's the way that the church began to acquire property, because wealthy parents would die and did not want their children to inherit their property, so they gave it to the church so that their children, their ne'er-do-well children, could not inherit their property. That's the way that churches began to inherit or to have property. That's an interesting dilemma. You know, and I think Jesus treats that a little bit when he says, you know, you refuse to honor your mother and your father, and you say, whatever I would have used to honor you is Corbin, or I've given it to God. That doesn't fly. So individual Christians have a responsibility to support their relatives, their family. If they don't do it, if they don't discharge that responsibility, if they're stingy or they're just greedy or they don't like that person and they're not going to help them, does that mean that the church can step in?
Not the church, but an individual.
Okay, and as an individual, I can do whatever I want to do with my money. It's mine. That's true, yeah.
I just heard just yesterday, I think, that Marie Osmond said that none of her kids are getting any of her money. And, of course, the reason for that is she wants them to strive and work hard. I mean, she's probably giving them enough of a boost to whatever, but you need to make your own. You need to work to show yourself approved to God.
Bill Gates has said the same thing.
Yeah.
All of the money that he has when he dies goes to his charity.
Yeah.
Okay.
He could just charge a little less for stuff right now.
That's true. That's true.
Don't we as Christians have an obligation to help our fellow man when we can?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. But that's not saying that it devolves to the church. It can devolve to the individual, to another individual.
Right, right.
Yeah, absolutely. If you see somebody that's in need, then following the example in Acts 2 and then in Acts 4 and verse and in 4 and chapter 5, you help. You're not, but again, you don't say, this individual needs help. I'm not going to help. I want the church to do it.
I was thinking that that would apply to like the third cousin in Arkansas, that whether or not they were related as a human being, if they have a need, we're obligated to help when we can.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
And helping doesn't necessarily always entail giving somebody money. It may be helping them downsize their house, finding them a place or a situation where they can tidying them over until the situation. Help is not just giving them money because they live in a mansion. We can't keep them in the mansion, but we can maybe figure out how to get them into something smaller and have them still be able to.
That's true. That's true. A lot of different ways to help, but we can't escape this responsibility to help. Yeah, Bill.
Along with what Margaret said, if our conscience tells us we need to help somebody, we should. Rather than saying, well, I don't have that much, but the church has more.
You can't go there. You can't say, I don't have much, but the church has more.
Yeah, it should depend on your conscience if you can help out.
Yeah, and the reason that I say that is 1 Timothy 5 at verse 16. He says, that, and here he's talking about those that are widows indeed and those that have relatives who have need. He says, if any believing woman has relatives who are widows, if any believing woman has relatives who are widows, let her care for them individually. Let not the church be burdened so that it may care for those who are truly widows. And he describes those that are truly widows as having attained a certain age, who have entertained strangers, who lived a kind of life that we want Christians to live. Yeah.
Bob. Yeah, I was just going to say that the widows have requirements on them, too.
Yeah, well, that's true.
And
that's
true. You just reiterated them right there.
Yeah. Yeah. But you can't. It is unreasonable to say that Bob has relatives that he won't take care of, so the church at Coburg Road is going to take care of them. That's unreasonable. That authority does not exist. Now, if Bob has more relatives than he can take care of, it may be that this is a person that has need and the church could be involved.
But we're talking about members of the church, right?
Not necessarily. Not necessarily.
If you have
members of your family that have need, you have a responsibility to take care of them, Christian or not.
Yeah, talking about your personal family and the interaction there. But I mean, as far as people in general, the way the church cares for their members should be an enticement for others to become a member of the church, to be part of that family.
Sure. But remember, if we think of our church as our community, that means that we have certain privileges as a part of community. And the idea of hospitality is taking somebody that's from outside of our community and treating them as if they were a part of our community. So, yeah.
To carry that a little further, you want to keep going down that road. Before you know it, churches are having soup kitchens. They're, opening up to the public, which I don't think that
I don't think that's what this is talking about. Yeah, I don't think that's what this is talking about. I think you're right. Okay. Another demonstration of this same corollary. Children or Christians have a duty to bring their children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That belongs to individuals. What happens when people don't teach their children?
We lose them.
They're rebellious.
Well, they're rebellious. There are all kinds of difficult things that happen when people don't teach their children. But if people don't teach their children, that doesn't mean that the church can take over doing that. And it's a sad commentary that people do not teach their children themselves. They don't feel that responsibility to convey biblical information to their children. They want the church to do it. And the church can't do that. We can't step in and take over that responsibility. We can help parents do it. We can give them resources. We can train them how to do it. We can do things to support what they're doing, but we can't take that responsibility. That's not the church's responsibility. That's a responsibility given to individual Christians. And there are, it's sad to say, there are a lot of Christians that do not talk about the Bible outside of church. That cannot happen. And we can't be free of that responsibility just because we're not a church and think that we can give it over to the church. You can't do that.
Well, the church isn't with your family every day. And as parents, you're with your children all the time. And you have many, many, many opportunities every day to just do little things like, say, didn't God give us a beautiful day today? You know, just your dialogue with your kids continually reinforcing.
Yeah, absolutely. That's how we bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Your kids come to you with a question. The first words out of your mouth ought to be, what would God want us to do? But I've talked to a lot of children who said, we never talked about God at my house. And it's because people expect the church to take care of that. You know, we say, I can't teach my children how to read. I don't know how to do that. That's why I send them to school. So the school will teach them how to read. It's okay to hire experts to help you, but you still have the responsibility. And we can't give it up. Okay. Second corollary. Some duties are assigned to both the individual and also to the church. And Christians function both as an individual with responsibilities and as a part of the church to help the church do God's will. Okay? Acts the 11th chapter. Is an illustration of how individual Christians carried out their responsibilities to teach the gospel. Somebody want to read Acts 11, verses 19 through 21?
Now those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word only among the Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord.
Okay. So you, if there was persecution here in Eugene, then it very well could happen. It could be intolerable for us to continue to live here. And so we would scatter. There's nothing wrong with that. We have an individual responsibility to go out and to keep spreading the gospel. And that's what these people did. Great persecution arose. They went out, and everywhere they went, they were teaching the gospel. Some of them wound up in Corinth. And they taught the gospel. Okay? And then a little bit later, if you continue the reading beginning in verse 22 and read down through verse 24, and you'll see the church in Jerusalem doing something to help them spread the gospel. So go ahead, Vicki, read 22 through 24.
News of this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord.
Okay. So you had individual Christians that went to Corinth, and then what does this tell you the church in Jerusalem did?
Supported them.
They supported it. They sent Barnabas out there so he could help with the teaching. Okay? But that the fact that they sent Barnabas out there didn't mean, oh, okay, Barnabas is here. He's a good man. He's a teacher. We don't have to do this anymore. We can't go there. That's a responsibility that I have as an individual, and it's a responsibility that the church has to support the teaching of the gospel. Okay, thoughts, comments? Yeah, Bill?
Well, I've been thinking of a couple of cases where the church, or one of the elders as a representative of the church, can act in our personal affairs. For instance, with the IRS, or in a court proceeding verifying our honorability as a person, standing up for what we're testifying of ourselves.
Oh, okay. I don't.
Well,
never had thought about that very much. So go ahead, elaborate a little bit.
That incident. Verifying that we're making our contribution to the IRS when they don't necessarily want to believe a word. Or in something similar in court where I know churches and like your father stood up for you on the draft board. Even though he disagreed with you, he verified your character.
No, that's true. That's true.
The church could do that.
That's an interesting observation. And the church here does make it a practice to vouch for people that make contributions where we can identify their contribution. If you contribute in excess of a certain number of dollars in a given year, The church will give you a letter that says you contributed this much to the church during this given year, so you can claim it on your income taxes. So, yeah, I can see that in a sense, yeah.
But a lot of times that's just a responsibility of an individual who's an elder to verify for your character or whatever. If it's a reporting of the income, that's a different
yeah,
situation. But they're two different.
That's an interesting observation. We have to distinguish between what an individual can do vouching for the character of somebody else. And I do that all the time. A lot of our kids are applying to jobs and they're getting their first jobs and they need a letter of reference, and I can provide a reference for them. I do that not on church stationery, but I do that as an individual who can say, I have known this person for X number of years, and I can vouch for their character. But I don't, and it's fairly clear when I write the letter, I've been the minister at the church where they've worshiped for 15 years, and I know them to be a good character because they've worshiped where I was a minister. So it kind of blurs the distinction between what the church is doing and what I'm doing, but yeah.
And still, even if you didn't know, because the one hand doesn't necessarily know what the other hand is giving, you can vouch for the character.
Even
if you can't vouch for it, well, yes, I've seen him give, and I I know that he wouldn't lie. So that's a vouching for the character. Maybe not that I saw him put X number of dollars in, but I can vouch for the character.
Yeah. Well, I want to get a little bit away from churches providing character references to churches helping with individuals who were teaching and the church helping them to teach. Because I think that's a pretty important concept. Kim has done a lot of teaching with individuals, and sometimes she's encountered people who, for one reason or another, didn't even own a Bible. And that was the case with Sharon Payne. She had never owned a Bible. She'd never read it. Kim started a class with her, found out that she didn't have a Bible, and the church bought Sharon Payne a Bible to support Kim's teaching, even though Kim was the one that was doing the teaching. And I think that's an important concept. We can provide resource material so that you can be an effective teacher. We could train you how to be a teacher. We don't supplant what you're doing. We don't take it over. We're not going to say, okay, you stop teaching. The experts are here now. Yeah, Bill.
I think that's just a basic part of the church's mission, spreading the word and saving men's souls.
Yeah, you're right.
It's something that needs to be done. It's absolutely necessary.
Right, and it's a responsibility that individuals have and that churches have. The church may be growing. The church may be effectively reaching out to the community where they are, teaching the gospel, but if you're not doing your part, you're not fulfilling your responsibility. You can't let any more than you can say, the church is going to take care of teaching my kids. You can't say the church is going to take care of teaching the gospel. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say that the individual, I've known of at least a couple cases where a young parent focused on the fact, I'd like to have my kids grow up the way your kids did or your kids are. And so as an individual, they went to that person. And that person mentored them and was able to give them information And so it's not just the church that is going to give you things. It's the fact that you saw something in the way they were handling their kids, and you went to them and got good advice.
And I don't think that's a responsibility of only the young parent to say, hey, you've been doing a good job raising your kids. Can you help me with this problem that I'm having? That's a responsibility that we have to say, can I help you? Okay, it's up to us to reach out. And that's why he said when he was talking about the older women teaching the younger women, that's a responsibility we have. Older men ought to teach younger men, not just how to lead psalms, how to be a father. Okay? How to be a Christian, which is we sell that really short when we say we're going to have a men's training class, and what we do is teach you how to lead psalms. What a short-sighted view of what it takes to be a man. And that's not discharging our responsibility. Okay? That's a part of it, but it's a very small part. To teach you how to lead psalms, teach you how to pray. What should you pray for? That's important as that is not teaching young men to become men. Okay, let's go on. Christians do benevolence, but so do churches. 1 Timothy 5 at verse 16. But the point that I want to make here is this is a duty that's assigned both to individuals and to churches, and there is no contradiction between the two. Okay? So, churches have a responsibility to care for widows in need. And if I see a widow in need, that doesn't mean that I get to say the church is taking care of this, I don't have to. Okay. Last corollary I want to talk about. Every member is responsible for doing his or her part in the work that's assigned to the church. In general, look at Ephesians 4 at verse 16, 1 Corinthians 12, where he talks about that the body has one head and many members, and all of them have to do what they can do. Ephesians 4 at verse 16, the only way that the church functions is when the individual members supply what they can supply. And you see it when you look at the financial report or support that was being sent to the needy saints in Jerusalem when there was the famine in that area. 1 Corinthians 8. And verses 10 and 11, and then 1 Corinthians 9 at verse 5. The church decided to help, and individuals did their part to make sure that that could happen. Yeah, go ahead.
I think I know of this, but I could be wrong, but I've seen instances where it's mentioned at the pulpit that there's a need, and by the church that there's a need someplace, and people have contributed to that need, and also the church contributed. So I don't know if that's what you're talking about. Or
yeah, that's exactly it. And you've seen it here. The church has helped with needs that were expressed in the Philippines. And individual Christians made up a contribution to also send to the Philippines. Okay? And sometimes when the condition is extraordinary, people might sell their property so they could help. It doesn't say you have to sell your property and give it to the church. That's an unreasonable assumption. But in the church in Jerusalem, the need was so great that there were people that had houses and lands and sold it. And they donated the money so that they could take care of those people. So sometimes when the need is great, the response has to be great. And yes, I have known people who have sold property to help somebody. I also know somebody. I had a car for sale, and a member of the church knew that somebody at church needed a car. He bought my car so he could donate it to the person that needed it. And not only did he buy the car, he fixed everything that was wrong with it. And I was selling it because it wouldn't run anymore. I was basically selling it for parts. It was a cute little car too, a 1991 Miata. And I drove the fire out of that thing. And it just kind of gave up the ghost. And the guy bought that car, went through it from bumper to bumper, fixed everything, and then gave it to this lady that needed a car. That's kind of going above and beyond.
That's noble.
Yeah. I wish I could do something like that, but I can't. If I tried to work on my car, I would break something that would make it more expensive to fix. And I have done that many, many times. Trying to repair a $15 part, and I break a $60 part, trying to get the $15 part off. So the financial support that they sent to Jerusalem, did it come from the church or did it come from individuals? Both. Both. Okay. Other thoughts, comments? We're about out of time. Somebody had their hand up and I missed it. I didn't have my glasses on. Okay. Well, we'll continue our discussion of the church and what the church ought to be doing next week. We'll address another area. As I said, this comes from some work that was done called Walking by Faith. And if you want to take the time to read through one of those books, we do have copies of it here in the church's library. So that's what's inspired me to do this series of lessons. What I'm doing is very different than what that book does, but that's what the inspiration was. If you are here tonight and you are not a Christian, I think everybody is. We want you to know that we can help. If you've not been living the way that you should, we also want you to know that we can help. That's what we come together to do, to encourage people to get them closer to God and to give God worship. So if there's something we can do to help you, we want you to think about it.